Come visit the world of food maven Arthur Schwartz with me, Joan Hamburg, on our original podcast, Let Me Tell You. Welcome to our original podcast, Let Me Tell You. And we've got a great guest, an old friend, my radio husband from yesteryear, the one and only food maven, Arthur Schwartz. And with Passover and Easter coming up, who better to talk to than Arthur, who's already in his kitchen dreaming dreams of what to cook, and always entertaining and fun, so make sure. And by the way, I know you know because you're listening with us, but this podcast is available whenever you want it by going to the OG Podcast Network. It's easy. And before we get rolling today, I want to remind you, coming up too is our fabulous entertainment show right ahead of the Tonys, taking place at a top Italian restaurant, Arno's. I don't know if you've eaten there recently, and used to be right across the street from a radio station I was at for years, and a great place, lots of room. We're so happy to have you there. We are almost sold out, so we'd love you to join us. It's a lunch starting at 12, and it goes to 2-ish, with top Broadway guests, a three-course meal, and it's old home week. We love it. 212 for reservations. 212-613-3848. 212-613-3848. So I do want to mention that to you. Now, the tickets are really going fast. I'm not just selling that. I was amazed. We haven't even really started promoting it. So come on along. It's always fun. And as you know from every other day, another play opening, the Broadway season is a booming because everyone wants to come in for the Tonys. So please take care of that. That's something. And I don't want to miss you. So I want you to be there. Now, speaking of Broadway, you've got so many shows. I'm just saying to our producer, Lexi, I don't know how we're going to get them all in. You've got King Lear coming in with Glenda Jackson. You've got Nathan Lane with Gary. You've got Hadestown, the myth, the musical. That is supposed to be terrific. I know friends have gone to see Laurie Metcalf and John Lithgow in Hillary and Clinton. I know it's real. It's a Broadway show. And they said, that's too terrific. Went to see The Life and Times of the Temptations, Ain't Too Proud. They were literally dancing in the aisles. And Be More Chill. I mean, look at this, one after another. That's at the Lyceum Theater. And the Cher show. Everyone who sees that Cher show comes back and says, what a blast, what a ball. So these are just a couple of things. And The Ferryman, which was considered one of the best things on Broadway, has a new cast coming in. Again, terrific. So there's more. Tootsie. I love that. And that's right around the corner. And of course, I saw what the Constitution means to me. Some major reviewers said could possibly be the best show on Broadway. And Oklahoma, how many of us grew up with that song, those songs in my head all the time? Very different version of the Oklahoma that some of us, including me, it was my first show. And I never forgot it. It literally changed my life because I didn't live in the city. My mom took me to a Broadway show, a big deal. I still remember putting on, because we wore stockings in those days, silk stockings, got all dressed up to go to the theater. So theater has a big impact on everyone. I just want you to know. And always great to see. So we've got a lot going on. You know, if you're going to theater, I had such a busy week between theater, between eating out and checking out restaurants, all kinds of stuff. I went to Estoria Milos, a Greek seafood restaurant, 125 West 55th Street. It was one of my close friends' birthdays, just a few of us. We weren't going to make a big deal. And when they suggested Milos, I said, look, it's fabulous, delicious, but so expensive. And we, two of us, I was taking my daughter Lizzie, we were heading to theater. Well, guess what? It was one of the best lunches we've ever had. It was a three-course prefix at lunch, $32, which for this kind of four-star restaurant, and everything, appetizers, oysters, and calamari, and grilled squid, and everything, wonderful salads. Main courses were incredible. The most delicious grilled fish and vegetables and desserts. So mark that down. That was really, we all went out saying that was the best $32 we've spent on food in a long time. And then that same week, I went to a wedding brunch downtown in the Greenwich Hotel called Locanda Verde. It's one of Robert De Niro's restaurants. You know how I often say it's more than the food. You want to be happy when you eat in a restaurant. There are plenty of great restaurants, but I like energy. I'm telling you, this restaurant, and I've been going to it for a long time, not for a wedding, but they have a gorgeous private room. It is so happy and so delicious. If you're looking for a place to have a party, this particular brunch had about 40, 50 people in the back, beautiful, overlooking the gardens, and they serve everything family style. So huge platters of mozzarella and eggplant and a fabulous salad. The best, unfortunately, homemade pastries. That's only the first course. Then they brought out mushroom frittatas and a wonderful rigatoni with a bolognese and wood-fired garlic chicken. And if you were a vegetarian, platters of roasted vegetables and garlicky potatoes and bacon. And then sweets. A wonderful restaurant. So these are just a couple of things. And don't forget the Shed, which is the art center in Hudson Yards, just opened on West 30th Street. I'm not going to take any more time because God bless my friend Arthur Schwartz. He talks a lot, so you want to hear him. Arthur Schwartz coming up on Let Me Tell You, our podcast, and I'm Joan Hamburg. Welcome, everyone, to the Joan Hamburg Show. I look at the calendar, and like all the rest of you, I say, what happened? We look up, it's Passover on the 19th, Easter, that Sunday. So I turn to one of the best food guys, not only in New York, in the country, a writer, a chef, a shopper. He knows it all. The one and only Arthur Schwartz. Hello, Arthur.
And good morning, Joan. Or is it already afternoon?
It's whatever.
It's on the edge.
But it's always time to talk about food.
I'm up so early in the morning these days that by the time it gets to be 12, I feel like I've had a whole day.
You know, that's really funny. But you always were an early guy.
I know, but now I'm too early.
Like what time? What time do you get up?
5.
5:30. Yeah, that's early. Do you have breakfast or you don't deal with that?
No, I have coffee, a lot of coffee, but I don't usually eat breakfast until about 8.
And then you have a real breakfast?
Yeah, I have various rotating breakfasts, including Swedish flatbread, you know, wasa crackers.
Yeah, I like
with
that.
With goat cheese, or wasa crackers. I'm into peanut butter lately. Mm. 2 tablespoons of peanut butter sets me up for the morning on crackers like that. Or sometimes I have herring these days.
You're kidding.
No, I love herring. It's a great, you know, I'm not a sweets in the morning person. I have to have salty in the morning. So herring with a Greek yogurt and a matzah cracker or two is really great breakfast.
I know. I'm not a herring person. My friend Phyllis Newman, you know, Adolph Green,
course.
Phyllis Newman. Oh, she loves herring.
Me too.
And I get that for her for special occasions.
Well, I don't know where you're buying your herring these days.
Savels.
Where?
You know, the guy, it's a really interesting story. A Chinese group used to run the counter at Zavar's.
Oh, okay.
And then they went out on their own. They were the only Chinese guys selling Jewish food in the city. So they opened a shop called Sables with smoked salmon, sturgeon. Uh-huh. They make it all. I mean, not that, but they make their own stuff. And they have that kind of herring in the white sauce. That, not for me, but for my friend Phyllis and people like you who love it.
Phyllis is doing well. I'm very fond of Phyllis.
Yeah, she's great.
Good.
So, Arthur, tell me, the holidays...
Yeah, I'm cooking Passover.
You are. At your house, or are you going to your nephew's?
It's over, Joan. You know, you get older. In fact, let me just... This is my big news.
What?
Is that I'm selling off a big hunk of my apartment.
Why?
Because I don't entertain the way I used to, and it was really the entertainment center. You know, I could seat 14 on my big table. No, I don't do that anymore. So we've turned the library into a dining room that seats 6.
In the initial apartment.
Well, Joan knows that I combined 2 apartments.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the bigger apartment, of course, we're keeping, but the secondary apartment was a 1-bedroom. But we're retaining 1 big room from it and selling off the rest as a studio. So if you know anybody who wants a studio in Park Slope,
great,
I'm selling
neighborhood.
It at the moment as is, because I don't want to do any more renovation. But right now the painters are here painting up the 1 room that I'm retaining.
Mm-hmm.
And don't ask. It's a huge project. It's a huge maneuver. It was all encouraged, or I should say motivated, by moving my sister from her big house where she lived for 44 years and even stored my mother and grandmother's things into a 1-bedroom apartment.
Aye.
So I realized that she did it all the wrong way, which is to say she had no plan of what to do with all this stuff.
What happened to all that stuff?
Well, we ended up giving a lot, too much, I have to say, to Goodwill.
Yeah, that's what we all end up doing, because no one wants that stuff.
So I have invited friends and family in to pick over what I had as if we were dead.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'd rather give it to them now while I'm alive.
Right, and it's gone.
I just shipped off yesterday my dining room table, my big table, with all the extension boards and the leave and the padding and the rug and the oriental rug underneath it. I just shipped it off to St. Louis to my niece.
Wow, and she'll probably appreciate it.
I must say, she took one of the most precious things in my apartment.
What?
The many, 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 many yards of silk drapery. The edges of the silk became sun damaged, but there was so much yardage. I had such full curtains that she's going to be able to put drapery in her living room, dining room, which are next to each other, and then upstairs in her bedroom. And she still left behind this huge panel of pink Dupione silk. It's anyway.
I'm talking to Arthur Schwartz.
She came to New York for a visit, and she went back with. I told her bring empty suitcases, and she did.
And went back full. So let me ask you. So now that you're divesting,
yes,
and
what do you want,
which is the trend? Listen, I want my kids come over, and I say, take this, take that. We don't want that. And I'll say, but that was your grandmother's, and she loved it. They don't want anything. So
well,
every time
I'm very happy that I have an extremely, perhaps overly sentimental nephew, an adult.
And he wants it.
Brian is very much an adult now. He has 2 children of his own and an enormous house. And so he's absorbing a lot of stuff that nobody wants, but he's attached to because he does have
I love that.
memories of
So these. Tell me, so for
and
Passover...
Listen, Joe, listen to this.
What?
My niece, because I have boxes... Also, I salvaged a lot of the stuff from my sister's house, including many boxes of family photographs. And Rachel went through it all.
Your niece.
And picked out a lot of good family stuff, but also discovered, I knew they were there, but who knew that anybody wanted them, the, remember autograph books?
Of course, we
they
all have them.
They don't exist anymore, Joan. Nobody graduating from high school takes around an autograph book for people to write in it.
No one has a telephone anymore except for
well,
an iPhone.
Right. I have a landline and people are shocked. But anyway, I'm on it right now, actually.
Yeah, it sounds better than the...
No, actually, myself...
Really?
I do my own radio show on Monday mornings live on an NPR affiliate in Connecticut, and I do it on the cell phone.
And it sounds good?
It sounds better than Skype, which we started doing this on Skype.
We have trouble.
Skype is not reliable.
With, right.
Yeah. But anyway, yes, it sounds great. It sounds just as good as this landline. And
so,
actually, and they re-air it during the week, and it's a podcast.
I love it.
And nobody ever notices that it's
that's on the other phone. But let me just ask you.
I get on Monday mornings at 7:30. I said I don't. I'm in my pajamas at my kitchen table with a cup of coffee.
That sounds great. But let me ask you. So you're cooking, but who's having it?
Well, we're going to do it at my nephew's house.
At Brian's.
We're arriving. Yeah, we're going to arrive a few days early. First of all, I love being there with the kids. I've become a real grandpa.
I love that. So what are you cooking?
Well, this is up in the air at the moment. Depends if Brian and Michelle invite anybody else. Last year, very sadly, Michelle's father was on his deathbed. And so
Brian's
who lives in
wife.
Annapolis, came with her family. And while Michelle and her sister were in the hospital with their father, we had our Seder. So we had it with Michelle's not-Jewish brother-in-law and nieces who are teenagers. And it was very nice because I was able to teach them all about Passover.
Right.
So this year we have, I don't know. I don't know if he's inviting anybody. Actually, I hope he doesn't. It'll just be us and
Israel
come from her senior community for a couple days. And
so what
whatever.
Are you going to make?
And then after that, Bob and I are babysitting for the rest of the weekend because... Michelle and Brian are going to go do something date-wise.
That's good.
Yes.
So, but meanwhile, what is Grandpa Arthur...
Making.
Making.
It's either one of two things. last year I made, as always, I made a brisket. It's a lot of meat for, we're going to only be seven people. It's an awful lot of meat. I mean, I don't really want to eat it for 3 days.
Right.
So I made... several times last year, a recipe that is perfect for Passover, but I was making it not for Passover. And it's crispy chicken. And I know you love the word crispy.
I love that word.
I know you do.
And
so crispy chicken with tzimmis. Do you like tzimmis?
Sort of.
All right.
But
well,
I like crispy chicken.
This is a recipe from a young Orthodox couple who wrote a book called The Gefilte Manifesto. And I... had dinner at my friend Leah Koenig's house. Now, I don't know if you've ever had Leah on the show, but she would be a great guest for you. Leah is, don't tell Joan I said this, she's the new Joan Nathan. She writes about Jewish food. She writes for The Forward. She writes for Taste, which is an online letter. She writes for a lot of
people. So it's her magazine. Chicken recipe?
So we went to Leah's for dinner, and she made this dish. We fell in love with it. And I've been making it ever since.
Tell me, how do you do it?
If you're diabetic, you should be careful because prunes are probably one of the worst things you can eat.
Yeah.
Let me say, I think the original recipe probably calls for whole chicken
cut
into parts, but I tend to use thighs.
Okay, that's
thighs.
Like
you need about 2.5 pounds of thighs.
All right.
And that, that's probably enough for six or seven people. And I love to do this in my black iron skillet. And I actually have an enormous, enormous black iron skillet. And I've made this for a party in that enormous skillet. And it makes such a great presentation. And also, it's right from the oven onto the table. And the reason it makes such a great presentation is there are a lot of carrots in this recipe.
Wow.
And the orange carrots against the black iron skillet
so
really
good.
Look good.
So what do you do?
Here's what you do.
Heat it?
First, you make this glaze.
Uh-huh.
3 tablespoons of grated fresh ginger. By the way, that's a lot of ginger.
It
so is. I grate it on I guess you could use a rasp, you know, a microplane.
Right.
But I grate it on an actual ginger grater. So 3 tablespoons, and all the pulp that comes up, not just the juice, 3 tablespoons of grated, peeled, fresh ginger. And to that you mix in 3 tablespoons of honey, 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil. That can be any peanut oil, canola oil, whatever you like to use, corn oil. By the way, if this is kosher for Passover, make sure that these products, well, the honey and the oil are kosher for Passover. And I have to say that our old sponsor, the honey sponsor.
Golden Blossom.
Golden Blossom.
We love that honey.
We love whole Golden Blossom, even though they're not our sponsor anymore. And I've made this with more exotic honey, but in fact, the Golden Blossom works perfectly here. Yeah. You don't want a very heavy honey here. 2 tablespoons of vegetable, and then salt. You need quite a lot of salt, at least 2 teaspoons of salt. And I make a mild version of this with only a little bit of hot pepper flakes. But you can use a punch of hot pepper is not bad because of the sweet. So 1/2 teaspoon of red pepper flakes and 1 teaspoon of grated lemon zest.
Wow.
And so you've got this really nice flavorful glaze. And what you do is brown your chicken, about 2.5 pounds, I said, in your black iron, or whatever skillet you can use. I use my black iron skillet. And all you have to do is put the tiniest bit of oil on the bottom and brown the chicken skin side down until it's nice and brown. This takes about 5 to 7 minutes. I would say more like 7 minutes for me. I don't like to do it over very high heat. You don't want to burn the chicken. Anyway, then as the chicken gets browned, transfer it to a bowl and pour on that glaze that you just made with the ginger honey
after
oil.
You brown it.
After you brown it, pour on all this glaze. And in the pan that still should have some fat in it, add a large onion, like, you know, an 8-ounce onion, halved and thinly sliced into half moons, you know, the way you normally slice an onion. And saute that around for just 2 or 3 minutes until it wilts. And then you add your carrots and prunes. You're going to need at least 1 pound of carrots cut into 1/2-inch rounds. It's about 3 cups of carrots. And 1/2 pound of pitted prunes. Now, years ago, when I made my grandmother's tzimis, I used to use prunes with the pits in and what were called large sour prunes. Apparently, these do not exist anymore. I've searched for them for several years. No. You have to, and in fact, I even find it hard to find prunes with the pits in. But if you do, I would use whole prunes. However, since you can only find pitted prunes these days, 1/2 pound of pitted prunes. And the original recipe said to chop them, but I don't. I'll cut them in half with the scissors.
Uh-huh.
And that's small enough pieces.
And then you put the whole thing in the oven.
After you've sauteed the onions, and then you put the carrots and prunes in, and you stir them around for around 10 minutes with the fat in the pan. Then add about 3/4 cup of water, and smush that around a bit. That's a very technical word, smush.
Yes.
and then you put your chicken back in, skin side up, on top. Of the carrots and onion and prunes, and if you have any glaze in the bowl, which you will, drizzle that over the chicken, and then you put it in a 400-degree oven.
For how long?
About 1/2 hour, 35
minutes.
That's
it? Oh, sure, because you've already browned it.
You've already browned it. And by the way, and I've done this, you can brown this early in the day, assemble the whole thing, and just put it in the oven at the last minute before like 1/2 hour or 45 minutes before you're going to serve it. And so it's a do-ahead thing, which is great for a holiday.
Of course.
And I have this enormous cast iron.
So you can make enough for everyone.
I made enough in there for, I think, 8 or 10 people when I did it in that big pan.
Sounds perfect.
But even a 10-inch skillet is big enough for the 2.5 pounds of chicken, and that's probably enough for a small family.
It is. It sounds great. So
by the way, if you're making this in a large quantity, and you don't have an enormous black iron skillet, of course you can do it in any pan, even on a sheet pan. You could just lay out the tzimis on the sheet pan and put the chicken on top of it and roast it.
Well, it sounds honestly delicious.
It's divine. It's too good. I eat too much of it, and that's why I don't make it very often.
I love it. Well, it sounds great.
And it's great for Passover, you know?
Yeah, it sounds, I'm writing down so fast.
Well, you can find it online. It's around. It's from a book called The Gefilte Manifesto.
Okay, we're going to go.
Only about 3-4 years old.
We're going to dig it up. And I thank you, Arthur, darling. And I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
Good luck
with the apartment. Anyone who wants a studio living near Schwartz.
Listen, with a park view and a separate kitchen. And I've looked at a lot of comparables in Park Slope, and there are no studios right now, anyway, that have actual separate kitchens
and
a
and
foyer.
Views.
So it's a nice little apartment.
It sounds great. All right.
It's a little cheap if you buy it as is.
Good luck with everything, and we'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
Arthur Schwartz.